towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So if you will, imagine that there's a bright star above your head, and in your heart is a crescent moon. And there is a relationship between this star and this crescent, the star being illumination and radiance, and the crescent being receptivity to that radiance. And if you will, on the swing of your breath, what the Sufis call fikr, put this phrase: may the star of the divine light shining in thy heart, and breathe out, be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. Breathing in, may the star of the divine light shining in thy heart, and breathing out, concentrating on the crescent, be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. While concentrating on the star, may the star of the divine light shining in thy heart, and breathing out, concentrating on the radiance of the crescent moon, be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. And continue with this for just a little while. Now allow this star to descend through your crown and to sit just above this crescent in your heart. And drawn around this crescent and star, floating above it, we draw the line of a heart which is filled with light. And on each side of the heart, two wings, the breath. The breath is the thing, like an electric current, that carries us from the inner to the outer world. And blazoned there in the center of our chest, we visualize this beautiful, ancient Sufi symbol. This is from a text called The Flower Garden of Anayat Khan. And this is from an excerpt from the Unity of Religious Ideals. All that the Prophet comes to give to the world is not given in words, but all that cannot be given in words is given without words. It is given through the atmosphere. It is given by the presence. It is given by the great love that gushes forth from his heart. It is given in his glance. It is given in his benediction. And yet the most is given in silence that no earthly sense can perceive. This is a precious text that has just become imprinted. I have the older version here. But you will see, here's the picture of Hazrat Anayat Khan. And this is Amina Begum, his wife. And they are sitting together there with Nurids as we're sitting here gathered here together today. Very sweet. Quiet gathering. So we're continuing today the subject that is so vast, there's no end. We are being joined with friends from other places. You're part of a historic moment, you might say, because we're trying to use the technology as a medium so people can come and join us in this class. So it's just our first step, and we may even be joined, we don't know. We have some information that possibly Pure Merchant Diet will join us from Germany. So we'll see if he calls in. Said he would like to. So if it rings, will it ring? Will we hear it ringing?
I have this meter right now. Shall I turn it back up?
No, only if you...
Amina and Surya, I think that you have your lines muted. If you don't, please do. And I'll turn our side of the line on so that if someone else does call in, you'll hear it. Thank you. So if you hear little blips, that's, they may ask a question. That'll be the blip is the question.
So thank you for being part of it, but you should know that you're now being televised through the airwaves.
It's audio only.
Audio only, no photographs yet. We'll get that up on the Flickr site soon.
That'll be...
Yeah. You have to use whatever technology you can. So we're continuing the subject on breath, as I said, and... I believe in January we'll begin our third year of this series of teachings by Hazrat Anayat Khan, who you saw in this photograph with his students. I'm reading from a small text that's just been published called Universal Sufism, The Path of Breath, Prayer, and Zikr. It's a compilation of a number of different teachings on the breath, some of which are not public. There, some of them are in the Gathikas and Sangathikas, which you may have access to for your group. Hakima. This reading is from the Gathas, the subject of breath, the chapter titled The Power of Breath. It is difficult to define breath in a few words. Breath is the very life in beings and what holds all the particles of the body together is the power of the breath. And when this power becomes less, then the will loses its control over the body. As the power of the sun holds together all the planets, so the power of the breath holds every organ. Besides this, the power purifies the breath by taking in new and fresh life and by giving out gases that should be put out. The whole mechanism of the body works by the power of the breath, and every disorder is the working of the mechanism in the health of the patient by feeling his pulse or the beats. The whole mechanism of the body works by the power of the breath, and every disorder in the working of the mechanism is caused by some irregularity of the breath. So here, observe your own breath. Notice the quality of that breath. And without changing it, note if there is a balance. In other words, is there a balance, a meter of inhalation with exhalation? And if there's not, it's okay, but slowly bring a balance into the swing of the breath. Relaxed and full, open, everything open. The physicians feel disorder in the health of the patient by feeling his pulse or the beats of his heart. The physician will say that it is the physical illness of the body which has caused the change in pulsation and the beats of the heart, but the mystic knows that it is caused by the breath. The breath, in its different aspects, acts differently. In every direction, the breath does some special work. The breath has a special work with every organ of the body, and it has its particular influence upon every element of which the physical body consists. I'd like to read that again because it's critical to the practice that we're about to do. The breath in its different aspects acts differently. In every direction, the breath does a special work. The breath has a special work with every organ of the body, and it has a particular influence upon every element of which the physical body consists.
So if you will, again, focus on
your breath. And allow the breath to become somewhat full and relaxed. And we will work with a practice that is known as the elemental breaths. And then we'll move on to other practices and readings. But the significance of the breath is highlighted in Mershon's words. Hazaranite Khan's words, where he says again, the breath in its different aspects acts differently. In every direction, the breath does a special work. The breath has a special work with every organ of the body. Every organ of the body has a corresponding element. It's a very mystical science, but also very logical science if one starts to study it. Is someone arrived, or can I sit the wind?
Someone has arrived. Okay.
So again, the breath has a special work on every organ, and it has a particular influence upon every element of which the physical body consists. So here we. In a relaxed and comfortable way. There is a seat towards the back. And many of you have done this practice together and certainly with me at this class or the various camps, but allow me to give the instructions for the benefit of those that perhaps haven't received them, and just those that know the practice well, really put your effort towards supporting the practice for all of us. So the first element is the element of earth. The practice is typically done with the eyes closed. However, if you feel more comfortable to have the eyes slightly open so as to feel and experience the direction of your eyes, because the instruction goes like this. For the earth element, you cast your glance as if you were looking at the tip of your nose, so you can maybe open your eyes for a moment. You don't want your eyes to be crossed, so that's why typically it's given as a practice with eyes closed. But you're pulling, you see, you're pulling your consciousness to that tip of the nose. Now, by doing that, you will probably feel a sensation of some kind. As you breathe, you concentrate on an orb of light that is the color of a yellow topaz. So it's a brilliant golden light there in the shape of an orb. And as you breathe in, it's as if that color is passing through the tip of your nose and coming to the back of the skull. And the breath is in the nose and out the nose. So you see, in reality, also what's happening is the intent of the practice is to rise, the spinal fluid rises and perches right there, ready to do its, right at the base of the spine, I'm pointing. Not the base of the spine, I'm sorry, the base of the skull. It's the energy is rising. And we're breathing in the nose and and out the nose. We're invoking the element through the breath of earth, which offers us stability, a sense of being grounded, our sense of place. It offers us confidence. And the breath is in the nose and out the nose. And if there is not enough for you to concentrate on at this point, you may also concentrate on the breath moving in a horizontal direction. So here we have the direction of the breath, as Murshid indicated in the previous passage. So by one developing the concentration and the mastery of this practice, which will now evolve slowly as we go through the other elements, you can see there are many things that are coming into play. The concentration at the tip of the nose, the glance being downward, the concentration on color, the concentration on drawing the color in, one's posture, and the invocation of the element within one's being, which corresponds to our very being. We are made of earth. The physical body is earthen. And now you raise your glance. Your consciousness comes to the bridge of the nose. There we see the color of the emerald in the form of light. And if you like gemstones, you could visualize an emerald there, that light is coming through. And now we breathe in the nose and out the mouth. The motion is a descending line. A vertical line, but in the motion of a descent. And as we breathe in, we actually breathe in through this center at the bridge of the nose. So we're breathing that color in, and again, allowing it to pass through as a laser passing through the skull, doing its work. Now, here, of course, the water element corresponds to our lymphatic fluids, our blood. It relates to the circulatory system. And the invocation of this element is one that invokes accomplishment, a sense of moving forward, of gracefulness, of graciousness. This just descending breath in the nose and out the mouth. And again, we're not thinking I'm breathing the color in through the nose, we're thinking I'm breathing in physically, spiritually, and stimulating this center at the bridge of the nose, which of course also stimulates the hypothalamus gland. And we know that that, when stimulated, gives one a sense of peace and balance. So if you're breathing the color in there and stimulating that gland, and offering to the water element of the body a kind of purification and balance in the nose and out the mouth. allow your awareness to rise yet again to the center of the forehead. And there we visualize the color of a ruby. Or if you so wish, it could be the gemstone ruby with the light shining through it. Again, the breath is moving in and out of the center of the forehead. We must overcome this tendency to think that we're only breathing through our nose. We're actually breathing through every part of our being. And but to think of the breath in a more subtle way, not such a gross way. So you're breathing in through this center. We are breathing in through this center. The color is red, and the breath shifts. We breathe in the mouth and out the nose. Now the vertical line is moving in an ascending direction. In the nose and out the mouth. Now, just to clarify for those that may have received this practice otherwise, as Hazaradhanayak Khan gave, this is exactly as he gave it to his students, and it was not done with an accompanying wazifa or thought of fikr. It's just the concentration very specifically on the breaths and the colors and the glands. So now, of course, the glance is as if it's looking at the center of the forehead. You're lifting your eyes and you're looking there. And the fire, of course, is our warmth of our body. And it has to do with inspiration, or no, I should say aspiration, reaching upward like a flame. It has to do with illumination. It has to do with a warmth of the character and the personality, warm-heartedness. And here, by breathing in this center, we're actually stimulating the pineal gland, which we also know needs light. The doctors say we all need 10 minutes of light at least a day to stimulate this gland. Here we're doing it in our meditation, which again stimulates the kinds of hormonal functions that create a sense of well-being and emit the youth hormone. This is why these meditators live for more than 100 years, masters of the breath. We too can do it, bringing this radiance into our being. So concentrate now for a little while on this breath, the fire breath, the fire element, in the mouth, out the nose. The awareness goes to the crown of the head, and there we see the color of a blue sapphire, or perhaps the gemstone with the light shining through it, penetrating through the crown center. This is, of course, the center of inspiration. At the very top of the head, the part that connects us, that's closest to heaven. And you see sometimes that in the images of the East, those of realization actually have a little knot on their head, where there's a kind of protrusion that center is extending. also in some religious traditions, a hat is worn on that part of the head to contain the energy. It's, of course, where the baby's soft spot is. The fontanelle is what that is called there. So now we breathe in and out that center, the crown, and the breath is in the mouth and out the mouth, but expanding in all directions, in a sense, kind of like a zigzag, or you might consider like a DNA molecule moving up and down, and in all directions. And the breath again is in the mouth and out the mouth. The eyes now are perched up, looking at the crown as if we're looking at the inside of the skull. The energy is rising. And the air element is, well, of course, very active today. You notice that. And it is the element of inspiration. It's the element of mind. And you notice with each element, the elements are moving from solid to fluid to kind of gases. And so you see that we are going through a more subtle evolution of the elements as we move up the elemental scale. We cast the glance upward above the head. Maybe visualize an arm's length or so above the head. And there we visualize a brilliant white light, but also all the colors are prevalent, like a dancing rainbow. You might consider it a diamond there. And if we look through that, we see a light coming from a source we can't quite say where, but somewhere far, far above that, and it is this light descending in through this beautiful orb of white light but filled with rainbow colors, because this is the etheric element. And of course, all elements emerge from this element, and all elements dissolve back into this element. And thereby, we have a sense of unity and illumination. And the breath returns to in the nose and out the nose. But here it is very subtle. You know, like the breath watching a little baby asleep, that subtle, beautiful breath. Or if you might imagine the breath of Hazaranaya Khan, or a great being that has been a very long time in quietude and meditation. The breath is extremely subtle. It's as if one is being breathed. reading from the Gitas of Hazaradanai Khan. This is the subject of mysticism, and it's the effect of Jalal, Jamal, and Kamal. Jalal is the aspect of the divine that we could say is divine power, divine might. Jamal is the aspect of divine beauty, of harmony. And Kamal, we could say, is the balance of the two, which takes one to a state of stillness, a kind of perfection. Divine perfection. The whole of creation has been formed by the law of rhythm, and rhythm is the cause of all the variety we see in nature. The sun, Jalal. The moon, receptive, Jamal. The woman, typically Jamal, receptive, beauty. The man, Jalal, powerful. And all other aspects of nature differ owing to the law of rhythm. Now here I part, because anyone in this room that has any interest in astrophysics and knows these new progressive theories, elaborations on Einstein's theory of relativity, the string theory, this is exactly what they say. It's only the difference, it's the same strings being played, it's only the difference of the vibration. Oh, here, the mystics knew it, and science is showing it now. How amazing is that? This is another guest. So, this is the point. Can you make sure that's shut for us? Thank you. The seer understands all things and their past, present, and future by the rhythm of the breath, traveling that current backward, traveling that current forward, traveling that current upward, traveling that current downward. And here again is the theory of relativity Murshid's alluding to, and parallel universes. It's extraordinary. There are two particular forces in the rhythm, which in music we call strong and weak accents. Suppose we push the pendulum of a clock with our finger. The first swing it will make will be strong. The next turn it will make will be the reaction to the first force, which naturally will be milder in its force. So it is with the breath. The breath which flows through the right nostril is Jalal, which represents strength. The breath that flows through the left nostril is Jamal, which is milder. Where's your breath now? Can you tell, is it one or the other or both? How many people have a Hari in your left nostril? And how many in the right nostril? And how many in both nostrils? This is interesting. How many people don't know? Breath being the very life, and its influences being not only on our mind, but even our life affairs. The Jalal and Jamal counts greatly with our life's affairs. And when the rhythm is broken, meaning upset, the Jalal and the Jamal come into conflict with one another. Anyone have this one manifesting in their lives or seen it in the past? And that's called Kamal. During this time, the strength with which the Jalal and Jamal hold our affairs is exhausted, and it brings failure and destruction. Therefore, the Sufi breaks himself to God. Shatter your ideal on the rock of truth. Therefore, the Sufi breaks himself to God, who does not receive who does not receive them who are unbroken. Uniting with God the unlimited means breaking the self that is limited. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again, but the divine could. Look open. Losing oneself. So let us experiment here a little bit with breath and see what we discover. We will begin the breath, and you can use your fingers to hold your nostrils. We'll begin breathing in through the right nostril. And we'll breathe in to the count of four. And we'll breathe out then through the left nostril to the count of four. So it's in four through the right, out four to the left, and I can count for us. So you're holding off, closing off your left nostril. You breathe in the right, two, three, four, and then out left, two, three, four. In, out. In, out. In, out. In, out. Sit, observe. Notice if you feel a sense of anything. It may be a kind of shift in one's weight. It may be a sense of color. It may be a noticing of sound. Just observe. No analysis, just observe. Be present. We'll do this cycle of breath again, but we will hold to the count of four between the inhalation and exhalation. So again, we're breathing in right, holding four, out left. In right, holding four, out left. Let us begin. In,
hold. Out.
In. Hold.
Out.
In. Hold.
Out.
In. Hold.
Out.
Again, observe. Would anyone like to share what their experience was of the breath without a lot of analysis? Not a lot of, you don't need a lot of talking. A few words could perhaps say it would be enough.
Centered, refined.
Okay.
Feels cleared up, freed.
It does, doesn't it? The breath just opens things up in that way. You gave this motion, so it was like, was it the physical senses or the thinking?
The whole opening of the breath, the whole flow of the breath.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Light.
Got light.
More balance.
Good. Wonderful. More balance.
Energized.
Energized, yeah. Anyone have a sense of light or sort of a weight to one side of the body or another?
Sense of color.
What color?
Like an orange cranberry color. Mm-hmm. And accompanied by a greater cessation of thought. Not a complete cessation, but a very light touch to it.
Anyone else?
Go ahead, Amina. If you'd like to say it out loud.
I think she's muted.
Her right side.
Okay, I'm muted. Yeah, my right side feels heavier than the left side. And my head feels softer.
Okay. Very good. Does anyone recognize, there are a few people that know, perhaps from their experience, do you recognize, was the breath the Jalal breath or the Jamal breath? Did it feel like it was a powerful breath, or did it feel it was a receptive breath? Tune in. We'll do the opposite one, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll have a basis for comparison. Is there someone else joining us?
He wants to sit here.
Okay.
It's fine. We're adding.
Okay. So now, once we get covered, you'll let us know when you're ready. Anything else happening?